than expected due to illness. Holmes and I had indeed left the Green Isles the morning after our arrival, when it became clear that the Irish police would not place any value on our testimony. We boarded the first ship to Liverpool, where I had to treat Holmes's recurring seasickness with ginger and oranges, as well as making him fixate on the coast as far away as it may have been, it helped. Therefore, I was able to prevent him from feeling sick and my clothes from being spoiled. Arriving in England, we forewent an overnight stay in Liverpool and took the evening train to London, even though we would not arrive at home until midnight. Of course, this time I could not see as much from the landscape outside the window since it was dark. That is why I was trying for a conversation with Holmes. "Tell me, Holmes," I began, "what are you thinking of now?" But Holmes pretended not to understand. "What do you mean by that?" "I don't know what you have been up to yesterday," I continued, "but I was busy with a grotesque, deadly, and ultimately falsified case in Dublin." "What do you want to know about it?" asked Holmes. "I have some doubts," I explained. "Doubts about our work." Holmes did not let on to anything. "Well, my dear Watson, we solved the case and secured the goods." "But what about the truth?" I exclaimed. "The truth exists regardless of your perception of it," Holmes said calmly. "The truth is absolute and objective." "Isn't it our job," I insisted, "to bring the truth to light?" Holmes shook his head. "Our job is simply to unfold the truth." I remained silent for a few minutes, but Holmes, of course, noticed my still existing dissatisfaction. "Listen, Watson," he said again, "if Catholics and Protestants do not get along in Ireland, then this conflict will continue for 100 years or more. You do not want that. If I remember correctly, this was your argument as to why we should take over the case in the first place, and now you dislike the result?" "No, not really," I had to admit. "I just wish we had achieved more." "We have achieved more," Holmes replied. "You'll see. And by the way, I haven't thanked you yet." I frowned. "What?" "Well, if you hadn't shot the chaplain at the last moment," Holmes said soberly, "I would be dead now." "Oh, don't take it so seriously, Holmes," I replied. "First of all, we would both be dead."